Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach. I would like to wish you a Merry Christmas. A Soldier's Christmas by Michael Marx. The embers glowed softly, and in their dim light, I gazed round the room and I cherished the sight. My wife was asleep, her head on my chest, my daughter beside me, angelic in rest. Outside the snow fell, a blanket of white, transforming the yard to a winter delight. The sparkling lights in the tree, I believe, completed the magic that was Christmas Eve. My eyelids were heavy, my breathing was deep. Secure and surrounded by love, I would sleep in perfect contentment, or so it would seem, so I slumbered and perhaps started to dream. The sound wasn't loud, and it wasn't too near, but I opened my eye when it tickled my ear. Perhaps just a cough, I didn't quite know. Then the sure sound of footsteps outside in the snow. My soul gave a tremble I struggled to hear, and I crept to the door just to see who was near. And standing out in the cold and the dark of the night, a lone figure stood, his face weary and tight. A soldier, I puzzled, some 20 years old, perhaps a marine, huddled there in the cold. Alone in the dark, he looked up and smiled, standing watch over me, my wife, and my child. "What are you doing?" I asked without fear. "Come in this moment. It's freezing out here. Put down your pack. Brush the snow from your sleeve. You should be at home on a cold Christmas Eve." For barely a moment, I saw his eyes shift away from the cold and the snow blown in drifts to the window that danced with the warm fire's light. Then he sighed and he said, "It's really all right. I'm out here by choice. I'm here every night. It's my duty to stand in front of the line that separates you from the darkest of times. No one had to ask or beg or implore me. I'm proud to stand here like my fathers before me. My gramps died at Pearl on a day in December." Then he sighed. "That's a Christmas Graham always remembers. My dad stood his watch in the jungles of Nam, and now it's my turn, and so here I am. I've not seen my own son in more than a while, but my wife sends me pictures. He's sure got her smile." Then he bent and he carefully pulled from his bag the red, white, and blue, an American flag. "I can live through the cold and the being alone, away from my family, my house, and my home. I can stand at my post through the rain and the sleet. I can sleep in a foxhole with little to eat. I can carry the weight of killing another, or lay down my life with my sisters and brothers, who stand at the front against any and all to ensure for all time that this flag will not fall." "So go back inside," he said. "Harbor no fright. Your family is waiting. I'll be all right." "But isn't there something I can do, at least? Give you money?" I asked. "Or prepare you a feast? It seems all too little for all that you've done, for being away from your wife and your son." Then his eye welled a tear that held no regret. "Just tell us you love us and never forget to fight for our rights back at home while we're gone, to stand your own watch, no matter how long. For when we come home, either standing or dead, to know you remember we fought and we bled is payment enough. And with that we will trust that we mattered to you as you mattered to us." Written by Michael Marsh, December 7, 2000. Well, you do matter to us. Here are excerpts from two letters written by a soldier named Bob in Afghanistan that give us a glimpse of what Christmas in Afghanistan is like for our soldiers. This was written back in 2002, and he writes, quote, "Christmas in Afghanistan. Woke up about 0530Z, 1030 local." The Z is for military time, in the time zone that is designated Zulu. It is equivalent to Greenwich time at the Royal Observatory in London, England, which is roughly equivalent to what's called UTC, or Coordinated Universal Time, in which time is measured so precisely that to account for the ever-so-slightly slowing of the Earth's rotation, resulting in an ever-so-small increase in the length of the real day, they have to calculate the last minute of some days as having 61 rather than 60 seconds, but that is a whole lot more about time than you ever wanted or needed to know, right? Of course, right. So anyway, back to Bob's letter. Let's see here. Woke up at about 0530Z, 1030 local, and that would be Delta anyway, quote, and made myself some oatmeal and espresso. We had a soccer game with the Romanians starting at 0700Z. Let me start with the soccer field. We're not talking a field of grass here. We're not even talking a field of dirt. The soccer field is about 50 yards long and about 20 wide. The goals are slightly miniaturized, too. They're approximately 8 feet wide and 6 feet high. Tents and bunkers surround the field. There's exposed tent stakes and grounding rods down the sidelines. Ropes run from the tent stakes to their respective attachment point on their tents. The field itself is half gravel, 1/4 mud, and 1/4 dirt. The gravel is large, sharp shale. Any fall will certainly end in a loss of blood. The parts that are dirt have tire tracks baked into them, rough 6-inch slits waiting to break an ankle. Before the game, we all take to the field and try to smooth out the tire tracks with our feet. In front of the southernmost goal is a huge puddle of mud and water. It's approximately 12 feet across and sits 6 feet from the front of the goal. If the Air Force safety Nazis were to see us playing on this field, they'd have a heyday. They'd literally stop the game and ask, "What the bleep are you thinking?" The size of the field limits each team to 6 players plus a goalie. There's no uniforms, no jerseys, just a bunch of guys that want to have some fun and share a little Christmas camaraderie. The game starts with me in the goal. Later on, I switch with someone and play in the field. Before switching, though, I do leave a small amount of my blood in the front of the goal, payment extracted by the gravel and my competitive nature. The Romanians kick our bleeps 12-4. We all had fun, though, and surprisingly, no one got hurt. It's about 1000Z, and we just arrived in line at the chow tent. We get a call. Rescue on alert 15. We all run back to camp and scramble for the airplanes. Apparently, a 3-year-old girl was playing with unexploded ordnance. It's no longer unexploded. The Army medevac helos take off. We pull back up. The little girl is not hurt too bad, but will probably lose her right eye. A miracle considering the circumstances. After about 45 minutes of alert 15, we herd back to the chow tent. The menu? Roast beef, turkey, canned, ham, Alaskan king crab, collard greens, mixed vegetables, dressing, and corn on the cob. Inside, there's pasta salad, boiled shrimp, cranberry sauce, and several types of pies. A great meal, considering. We're now back in our tactical operations center, just hanging out. Later, some of the SEALs from across the bay stop by and invite us to their Christmas party. They have turkeys, real ones, roast beef, and ham, some awesome beans with sausage in them, and rice. We head back to the ops tent for a showing of Lord of the Rings. Get to bed about 23:30. All in all, a great Christmas spent with a great group of people, one that I'll remember forever. I hope yours was half as good as mine, spent with those you love. Come to think of it, as good as today was, that's the one thing missing. Those I love. Peace. Signed, Bob. Well, I guess that's a good day in Afghanistan when all that was lost was a game of soccer in the right eye of a 3-year-old playing with unexploded ordnance. Folks, let's remember our soldiers during this Christmas holiday. I'll be right back. I have written melodies for several of the Psalms, and I'm gratified that so many have asked for the CD. A great stocking stuffer. $10 covers the cost of the CD, which includes $3 for the Brain Massage Show. Call 1-888-770-8000 or go to santamarialighthouse.org and click on the bookstore button. Merry Christmas. I've written melodies for several of the Psalms, and I'm gratified that so many have enjoyed singing them. We've produced a CD with 14 of these. A great stocking stuffer for Christmas. $10 covers the cost of the CD and provides $3 for the Brain Massage Show. Call 1-888-770-8000 to order yours today. Or go to www.santamarialighthouse.org and click on the bookstore button. Merry Christmas.
The Devil Beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, brain masseur, loosening the knots in the knotheads, helping them think clearly again, restoring common sense and moral sanity by massaging the brain with truth radiation therapy, zeroing in on liberal lies, freeing the mind of progressive plaque buildup. Okay, Merry Christmas to all and a full-hearted God bless us everyone. I have been officially asked to accept a truce with progressives and those who are moderately conservative to, well, here, I'll read it from the letter I received lately from, you know what, I don't give out names or phone numbers of those who are angry with me or don't like me or disagree with me, unlike a certain liberal we know. so we'll just call him, how about Latin to make it sound exotic, you know, Liber Labia. Or in plain old cowboy, that's lib lips. All right. Libra Labia writes, quote, "Do you think I might prevail upon you to consider taking a break from the hate speech until after the Christmas season?" End quote. Well, let's see. Now, George Washington did not call for a truce during Christmas at Valley Forge. Our troops in Afghanistan and in Iraq and the Brits in London are on high alert as they anticipate some terrorist attack to take place on the blessed day. I mean, even though our own Homeland Security Secretary Napolitano is preoccupied with directing Homeland Security to focus on climate change as a Homeland Security issue. Oh, yeah. And our nation's intelligence chief? He was unaware of the United Kingdom plot. Because, as it was explained by the White House, he was focused on other things. Apparently, the regressives, who call themselves progressives, are certainly not taking a break from their assault on the traditional Christian values that have shaped this country for over, more than 400 years, if you take into consideration our roots go back into the colonial days of our forefathers. So my answer to this call for a truce is that when you regressives stand down your attack on our traditional American values and mores, I'll consider an offer of truce. Keep in mind, it was the Liberal Congress that we fired on November who plowed ahead this Christmas season with this repeal of the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy governing homosexuals serving in our military. Imagine soiling the blessed Christmas season with this outrage. When the truth about the military's opinion about this, I'm talking about from the troops, is that 91% of our troops oppose lifting the ban. Just like about everything else this Congress has done, the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell was forced, shoved into law against the wishes of most Americans. And 91% of the troops are most affected by this. Hey, this is one of the most significant formal actions of the United States, signaling this nation is being turned into hell that has happened in a while, and it's not going to go by without my notice, especially on that precious day we celebrate, the entrance into the world of Messiah the King. Now, as I regard anyone who takes the time to write me a letter and express to me his opinions to be a friend, especially when this friend seeks to correct me or set me straight, let's take a look at what my new friend has to say. And by the way, remember, Jesus called Judas friend. So. But seriously, this letter is so perfectly reflective of exactly what it is that I'm fighting against in the so-called quote-unquote Christian community. It serves as an illustration of what I'm pointing to as the root of the problem we have in our churches, many of them. First, I assume Liberal Labia, Liblips, self-identifies as a Christian. I do that because he mentions the, quote, peace on earth, goodwill toward men, end quote, philosophy as one he aspires to, quote, process at this time of year, end quote. And he informed me that, well, he just wants me to, quote, make it a little easier for us to be more like Jesus, end quote. So I assume he self-identifies as a Christian. Fair enough? In the first paragraph of his letter, he refers to my comments as a diatribe of what he would refer to as hate speech. And he was referring to my commentary on the evils of homosexuality generally, and my particular comments on an article I found titled, quote, "Sexuality Doesn't Matter on the Battlefield," end quote. My regular listeners will remember my outrage over the superficial logic of that supercilious soldier whose argument for lifting the ban is that, well, when you're in the trenches, all that matters is whether your battle buddy can do his job, regardless of his sexual preference. Well, I went back and reread my comments on that subject from my show notes. And by the way, these show notes are available for free on our homepage for each show for about 2 weeks after each broadcast. And then they're available on our website in our bookstore, but it'll cost you $3 each in a downloadable PDF file. And by the way, these show notes include all my footnotes indicating my resources and so on. They provide the nearest thing I have available to you as a transcript for the show. At present, the last 10 shows are available in separate downloadable PDF files. And as I said, the cost for these is $3 each. Or you can download a zip file containing all 10 shows in PDF format for $10. Anyway, I reread my comments, and I must confess the word diatribe is apt. I'm sure we would all agree my comments amount to a forceful and, in a way, bitter. I mean, as I did speak from an anguished soul that may be called bitter, but hate speech I will not allow. For even Jesus said, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." And the Holy Spirit was sent into the world for heaven's sake, and indeed, for heaven's sake, to reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Then my friend continues in the next paragraph to explain to me why he objects to what he considers my unchristian disposition, or shall I say disquisition, toward homosexuals. From his letter, I quote, "Aside from the peace on earth goodwill toward men philosophy, some of us make an extra effort to process at this time of year. There are other implications that hit close to home," end quote. I'm going to discuss the quote, "other implications," end quote, in a moment. Let's take a look at this wonderful example of something I devoted an entire sermon to expose in a recent Christmas message. From the tenor of this letter, I think it is reasonable to assume this writer believes my own stormy rhetoric against homosexuality in general and the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell in particular is contrary to the philosophy articulated by the beautiful angels announcing the birth of God's Son with these words, quote, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men," end quote. That's Luke 2:14, by the way. And it's just like these liberlabia, that's lip-lippers, to wrest such a wonderful scripture from its context and force it into service to their own purpose. I can't take the time here to preach the whole sermon, or shall I say, I can't take the time here to throw the book at you. Ha ha. I mean, I'd like to show you that the peace these angels spoke of is God's peace, not man's idea of peace, at least not the contemporary one. Man's idea of peace is very like his idea about love. Perverse. These words, love and peace, have been bastardized in service of the most heinous evils in our culture today. In man's version of peace, any notion of absolute truth must be abandoned. Relativism must take its place, so that in the end, peace means compromise with evil, giving in to sin, giving place to the devil, all of which is strictly forbidden in the Bible, whereas, with God, peace means surrender to the will of the Creator and acknowledging His Son as Lord of heaven and earth. Just consider what Jesus himself had to say about this peace on earth business. First of all, he clarified what peace he meant when he said, quote, "Peace I leave with you," and then he qualified it, going on to say, "My peace I leave with you, not as the world giveth give I unto you," end quote. That's John 14:27, by the way. Regarding this peace as the world gives it, here is what Jesus had to say about that. Quote, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword," end quote. Matthew 10:34. But, of course, my liberal progressive friend very likely never even heard of these verses, as he probably attends a liberal church, if any at all. Or, if he has heard of them, he is a smorgasbord Christianette, you know, who goes about picking and choosing what parts of the Bible suit him. Which, of course, begs the question of whether his is an authentic Christian faith, or whether he is, like so many, snared in one of those apostate churches that have taken a bit of Bible here and a bit of Bible there to construct a pseudo-church that attempts to take advantage of the popularity of Jesus to attract people to their pews, but who then spurn his lordship and his headship, refusing to abide in him and to allow his words to abide in them. Hypocrites and glory thieves, deceivers and liars against the truth. False prophets who seek the praise of men and not the praise of God. Well, there you go. Merry Christmas. Now, as to his mention of those other implications and my disquisition against homosexuals serving openly in the military, he queries whether I've been on the battlefield, you know, quote, where body parts are being blown off, end quote. And then he says, quote, "If not, I can assure you that those of us who have a son coming home for Christmas who was saved by a homosexual sharpshooter in Iraq do not care about that person's sexuality," end quote. Oh, okay, so he has a brave soldier serving in Iraq. Well, my hat's off to you, sir. My own son is soon to be deployed to Afghanistan, and we have been informed that he is going into one of the hottest, as in most seriously dangerous, zones in that conflict, and will very likely be there in harm's way for more than a year. Now, I know that military dads don't necessarily know all the military jargon, but having served in the Army myself, I know that sharpshooter is a rifle marksmanship ranking soldiers receive during basic, if you're in the Army. There are three: marksman, sharpshooter, and expert. My own son is an incredible rifleman, by the way. He missed expert by one shot, and that was probably because he had been sick a few days during the range training. Anyway, he qualified as sharpshooter. So I guess this guy might be saying the homosexual who saved his son was one who qualified on the range as sharpshooter. But that is not a MO, a military occupation. You understand what I'm saying? That's not something you would normally point out in a sentence like this. I mean, if a guy saved your hiney, not only do you not care if he was homosexual, you don't even care how he qualified during basic. So we'll assume he means his son was saved by a sniper who happened also to be homosexual. He goes on to point out that he is, quote, glad that person, whom you think is no better than a thief or a pedophile, was there to protect my loved one, end quote. And furthermore, he tells me that he is proud of the service of all of our soldiers, whether they are straight or homosexual. All right, allow me to respond. I'm also glad someone was there to save your son. And in that regard, I agree. It doesn't matter whether the guy was homosexual or a pedophile or a murderer or a rapist. Or, hey, let's go to the mat on this point. Would you care if the fellow who saved your son was a fundamentalist, conservative, redneck Baptist Christian who resists the lifting of the ban on homosexuals serving openly in the military and gets Bibles and guns for presents during Christmas and who resents Barney Frank's repugnant dismissal of the obvious problem that arises with declared homosexuals sharing showers with men who are repulsed by the idea? I assume that if such a soldier saved your son, he also would be welcome in your home and in your hometown, right? One wonders. Surprise? Listen, I've been in the business of battling the Antichrist spirit operating in these phony Christians for a lot of years, and it would not surprise me if, in fact, this same fellow who could care less if the man who saved his son was homosexual would actually choke on giving such praise and such welcome into his home if the soldier who saved his son was a fundamentalist, conservative, anti-gay Christian soldier. Now, I'm not going to bother trying to respond to his nonsense about me saying homosexuals are no better than thieves or pedophiles. The point I was making was obvious to anyone truly listening. In the trenches, in the heat of battle, not only does it not matter whether the guy shooting on your side is a homo, at that point, nothing matters except staying alive and completing your mission. And the point of that is, that's not the point. That's only a small part of the soldier's daily life, and it's all the rest of their life in uniform they are concerned about. The Army is not the place to be advocating for and forcing upon others cultural change. Our men in uniform should not be forced to shower with homosexuals any more than a woman should be forced to shower with men. You guys are such hypocrites. You say it's natural. You know they're born gay, which means, according to you, Mr. Frank, Barney Frank, these guys are born with a natural sexual attraction toward other men. Well, why do we segregate men from women in the showers? Isn't it because it would be awkward and inappropriate to expose men to naked women or women to naked men in the showers, creating inappropriate tension between the sexes and so forth? Well, what do you think it's going to be like when a straight man is showering with an open homosexual? Don't you suppose he's going to feel, maybe ogled? I mean, this is nonsense. What a bunch of confusion. Hey, we find homosexuality to be unnatural, repulsive, and disease-ridden behavior. And you find our attitude about homosexuality to be repulsive to you. You see, it's really all the same. The only difference is what we find repulsive, isn't it? Finally, our friend reminds me that Jesus ate with the pariahs of his time. Then he says, he has a, quote, difficult time imagining you, referring to me, lowering yourself, referring to me, to share a meal with someone with whom you disapprove, end quote. It is so typical for liberals to totally misunderstand Christian conservatives like moi. Hey, you know what? There are homosexuals who have visited and from time to time visit our church. And they know that, well, at least they know that I know they're homosexual. And you know what they'll tell you about their experience here? They will tell you that I'm gracious to them, glad to have them visit us, friendly and kind to them personally. And guess what else they'll tell you? They will also tell you that when it comes to a discussion about their behavior from the pulpit or in person, I give them no quarter. I make no apology for my position that their behavior is an abomination to God. And I encourage them to repent of their sin and surrender to the claim of Christ to be Lord and to accept his free forgiveness for their sin and avail themselves of the power of his Spirit to overcome. Just as I would say to all sinners, look, I'm coming up on my time here today. He concludes his letter with a postscript. P.S. The Romans were pretty effective soldiers. Are you aware of all the homosexuality they practiced? End quote. Hey, ever hear about the fall of the Roman Empire? Huh? I mean, it became so corrupt that it went into self-destruct mode. The same spirit that controls these homosexuals. They're in self-destruct mode, man. And it's another example of a nation that was destroyed by embracing homosexuality. So, thank you for making my point. Look, it's not that homosexuals are incapable of performing military tasks. Whoever said that? It's that homosexuality is an abomination to God and to nature and will work the ruin of our nation. God will judge this land if we do not stop murdering the innocent babies in the womb and stop this avalanche crumbling our nation into hell. Remember Sodom. All right, now to conclude, I think it would be appropriate to reprise the poem I quoted earlier titled The Soldier's Christmas. A Soldier's Christmas by Michael Marx. The embers glowed softly, and in their dim light, I gazed round the room, and I cherished the sight. My wife was asleep, her head on my chest, my daughter beside me, angelic in rest. Outside, the snow fell, a blanket of white, transforming the yard to a winter delight. The sparkling lights in the tree, I believe, completed the magic that was Christmas Eve. My eyelids were heavy, my breathing was deep, secure and surrounded by love. I would sleep in perfect contentment, or so it would seem. So I slumbered. Perhaps I started to dream. The sound wasn't loud, and it wasn't too near, but I opened my eyes when it tickled my ear. Perhaps just a cough, I didn't quite know. Then the sure sound of footsteps outside in the snow. My soul gave a tremble I struggled to hear, and I crept to the door just to see who was near. Standing out in the cold and the dark of the night, a lone figure stood, his face weary and tight. A soldier, I puzzled, some 20 years old, perhaps a Marine, huddled here in the cold. Alone in the dark, he looked up and smiled, standing watch over me, my wife, and my child. "What are you doing?" I asked without fear. "Come in this moment. It's freezing out here. Put down your pack. Brush the snow from your sleeve. You should be at home on a cold Christmas Eve." For barely a moment, I saw his eyes shift away from the cold and the snow blown in drifts to the window that danced with the warm fire's light. Then he sighed and he said, "It's really all right. I'm out here by choice. I'm here every night. It's my duty to stand at the front of the line that separates you from the darkest of times. No one had to ask or beg or implore me. I'm proud to stand here like my fathers before me. My gramps died at Pearl on a day in December." Then he sighed. "That's a Christmas Gram always remembers. My dad stood his watch in the jungles of Nam, and now it's my turn, and so here I am. I've not seen my own son in more than a while, but my wife sends me pictures. He sure got her smile." Then he bent and he carefully pulled from his bag the red, white, and blue, an American flag. "I can live through the cold and the being alone, away from my family, my house, and my home. I can stand at my post through the rain and the sleet. I can sleep in a foxhole with little to eat. I can carry the weight of killing another, or lay down my life with my sisters and brothers, who stand at the front against any and all, to ensure for all time that this flag will not fall." "So go back inside," he said. "Harbor no fright. Your family is waiting, and I'll be all right." "But isn't there something I can do, at the least? Give you money," I asked, "or prepare you a feast? It seems all too little for all that you've done, for being away from your wife and your son." Then his eye welled a tear that held no regret. "Just tell us you love us and never forget, to fight for our rights back home while we're gone, to stand your own watch no matter how long. For when we come home, either standing or dead, to know you remember we fought and we bled is payment enough. And with that we will trust we matter to you as you matter to us." Merry Christmas. If you want to call in and leave a message for me, call our listener response hotline. That number is 1-888-770-8000. If you're using a cell phone, you don't need the one. The number is 1-888-770-8000. God bless you. God save America. I'll see you in church. Singing Psalms is a CD presenting 14 psalms accompanied by guitar. God wrote the words and I wrote the music. A great Christmas stocking stuffer, $10. To order, call 1-888-770-8000.
Satan is called the dragon and prince of the power of the air. The devil beware. Pastor Scheinbach is on the air, swinging the sword of truth at the dragons of deceit, thrusting the blade of incisive insight into the belly of liberal lies, lies that blind men's mind in darkness. He wants to know if you have his back. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457.